who I would then say is glory of the Mount of Olives, is really what it's implying, the Mount of Olives prophecy during his reign. And it goes like this: the time is coming when you will hear the noise of battle near at hand, and the news of battles far away. See that you are not alarmed. Such things are bound to happen. But the end is still to come. Hmm. For nation will make war upon nation, kingdom upon kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many places. With all these things, the birth pangs of a new age begins.
That could be right now, John.
Yes, it's. We've had the massive earthquake that Nostradamus said, as we did a month ago, reported in the bottom of Asia, which he dated accurately, it seems, for our time.
Mm-hmm.
Mercury and Mars together with a full moon that happened on the 26th of December with the quake that caused the tsunami, which has now been upgraded to a 9.3 Richter scale, which rivals the Alaska quake. So that's huge. We're certainly living in a time of great famines and a time of wars and rumors of wars that is happening. It certainly at least looks like the language of apocalyptic texture of literature is fitting our times. I must also add that if we're having this radio show in 1942, we might say the same thing, that the Antichrist is Hitler, and that the world at war, a war that certainly is slaughtering a lot more people than in many, many decades of since. And, you know, 60 million people died in World War II. Some people say upwards of 60 if you count,
maybe
factor
more
in the Chinese fighting the Japanese and the famines. You know, it's a question of, are we really in a dangerous situation, or is this, again, propaganda? Because I would think... are we being persuaded that this is the end times, or were there actually periods in our past, in our near past, that actually better fit
the end times?
The end times,
exactly.
And you could argue that a lot of the I mean, one of the things I discuss in The Last Pope about Pastor Angelicus, the Pope Pius the 12th, who dealt with the occupation and the fascist forces in Germany and Italy, actually was a man totally convinced in his prophecies about his times that communism was the great threat that would the Antichrist incarnate, that was going to destroy Christendom, and that the chastisement had begun. Now, I think he was very sincere, but I think he was also sincerely naive and missed who really was threatening the Catholic Church. Anyone who reads Secret Conversations of Adolf Hitler will know that Adolf Hitler was planning, if he had won the war, to systematically replace the Catholic cardinals and the Pope with false Nazi sympathizers.
That's true. He had a plan.
And the thing that duped Pius is, being that he was a member or a leader, a pastor of an autocratic government, he had actually easier time talking with Mussolini and Hitler and their ambassadors than he did with the democracies, the leaders of the democracies, because he just didn't understand democracy. You got to understand that even at the turn of the century, Pope Leo and some others were writing encyclicals denouncing democracy as the work of the devil. And we've kind of forgotten that only recently, with the Vatican II of John the 23rd, that the triumphalist of Pius the 12th was the last of the triumphalist popes who thought that democracy was ruled by mob and it was not divine, and he was not that sympathetic until it was absolutely clear, when the Americans were about to occupy Rome, that the Germans and the Italians were going to lose the war.
John, we a few weeks ago lost someone who was very special to this planet, Sister Lucia.
Yes.
Who was the third child, the surviving person of the Secrets of Fatima. And there is still argument over what that third secret is. Some people say it has not been released. Others say it has. And then when you look at what that is supposed to be, it sure isn't dramatic. You know, where the Pope believes, at least this is what's been reported, that it was going to be that assassination attempt on himself.
Well, yes, and I think if, you know, I have the third secret that was released by Cardinal Ratzinger, who at the moment is a prime candidate to succeed John Paul II.
Yes, he is.
As John Paul III, which I believe is what he will call himself. That came out in May 26, year 2000. And, you know, there are a number of things that we'll probably get into it in the nitty-gritty in the next hour, but I can at least preface that now and kind of give a background to anybody who doesn't know the story of Fatima. There was this spring day in 1917. There were three children who were shepherding sheep. And there was Lucia and Francisco and Giancinta. Giancinta, Lucia was 10 at the time, and the other two were 9 and 7. And they heard thunderclaps in a broad daylight in a pure blue sky, but there were thunderclaps. And they witnessed this luminous form of a lady, or at least actually Lucia did. The other two just saw a cloud on a little bush and heard a buzzing sound, but she actually saw the apparition of a luminous lady that the oldest child could hear it speak. And the apparition told the children that they should come and return to this little tree in the field on the 13th day of each month. So from May 13th on through October 13th, 1917, the three children came. By the time of the last meeting, there were thousands of people in the driving rain, in the autumn rains, many sick, many infirm, who were all coming for a miracle. And on the third and the 13th of October, something that is akin to what you were talking about in the first hour may have happened here, because what happened is that the sky opened up, a great orange disc descended from the sky, and people believed that it was the sun falling out of the sky. However, I find it very interesting of the constant talk about the orangeness of it, and any of you who know your UFO literature know that often when the ships, or whatever they are, come close to Earth or take off from Earth, there's often an orange aura off of them, and they turn into an orange fireball or something like that. So this may have been something like this. All the people, after this thing bobbed up and down in the sky, in wonderment people watched it, and when it finally went off, and they thought the sun went back to where it was supposed to be, many people report that their clothes were dry. You know, they had this driving rainstorm.
Well, that makes more sense than the sun actually coming down, where you would assume everybody would have been burned to death.
So, and also, the world cannot have the sun move like that without being blown to bits.
Not even a little bit.
So, one wonders exactly what this apparition was, whether it was putting on an appearance that can be understood, because, you know, there are also reports in the East about Green Tara, who's kind of like the Virgin Mary in the Tibetan Buddhist view of things, and people seeing appearances of the Green Tara, the Compassionate Mother, Lakshmi, Sarasvati, Parvati, all these visitations. And one wonders sometimes if, since there's also a lot of ufology in seemingly involved in ancient Hindu literature, that it might be extraterrestrial intelligence trying to reach us, communicating through the things we understand spiritually.
Could have been all one and the same.
Now, one would also wonder if something can fly at the beyond time and space, or find some way to pass through a time-space continuum, that they might have some knowledge, prior knowledge, to what potential futures are before us. The kind of knowledge that an apparition looking like the Virgin Mary talking to little Lucy,
little children,
the small children, describes things that did actually happen.
When we come back, John, I want to get your take on the third secret of Fatima, and then we'll get into some of the prophecies of Nostradamus. I want to get your interpretation on what he said about 9/11, what's going on. He even talked about the presidency. Talk about Nostradamus. You talk about true prophecy. I'm George Norrie.